All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Jim Dingman. This is the Pacifica National Programming Committee, and this is our meeting for September 25th. We have a few people who are excused absences, but I'm going to call the roll right now because some people join us. I think we have six people on the phone call, so I'm going to start with the people in PFW. Just sound off if you're here or not. Nancy Sorden. Nancy's not here. Cliff Smith. I know Cliff asked to be excused. Rob Sims. I know Rob.
Which radio station Cliff is with?
Cliff is with PFW. Michael Novick.
Present.
Present. Answer is there. Is Michelle Manos there? Michelle is not right. Okay. Is Donald Goldmacher here? Donald's not here. Carol Wolfley?
Here.
Carol's here. Shira Dedman, she's not here yet. Jim Sagerton? Jim is not here yet. I'm here. Jim Dingman is here. Wally James, I think he wanted to be excused. And Wesley Bethune, you're here?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. So, we're present with the people here. I had sent out a proposed agenda, which was to discuss the Pacifica restructuring project, which is, of course, interesting. But before I do that, can somebody be the timekeeper? What were we doing, like a minute and a half or 2 minutes for each of us? Someone volunteer to keep time? Anybody? Only once.
I cannot do it because I'm getting off the call. I have to get off for another meeting at 6:15.
All right. All right. I'll try to do it while we're doing it. 6:15. So you'll have to be gone pretty soon. All right. So. The agenda was to discuss the Pacifica restructuring plan and have a civil and intelligent discussion about it. Does anybody have any objections to that?
Mansoor.
Yes, sir. What are your objections?
Oh, don't call me sir, please. My name is Mansoor, so I don't want to be called sir. Jim?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate what you want to do, but I think you're mixing up the... what's been on the agenda of PNB to what you want to do. The agenda for PNB tomorrow is to set a date of record to be heard for the new proposed bylaws. So PNB has not voted on this to even have a set of a record date. So I think this topic, it's out of order. It's not even part of the PNB yet. So you cannot discuss something that is not part of the PNB's discussion. Okay? It's just like you're trying to make somebody guilty that he or she has not committed any crime. So I plead with you to not to have this discussion because you want to discuss what's on the proposed new bylaws. We haven't even got there. And I'm going to say it the last time, that is, we don't even, the PNB has not set a date of record to discuss this thing. So this is absolutely out of order to be discussed here. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments on this? Anybody else to the stack? All right, I'm going to argue that I don't agree with you, Mansoor. I think that this is an issue that simply because the National Board isn't discussing it doesn't mean a committee of the Board can't discuss it, and there's nothing that says that we cannot discuss it. And this is an issue that indeed affects the very nature of what people are talking about. It's certainly one idea among many that people have put forth in the past few years about changing the governance and structure of the board. And in terms of it having an impact on programming, I think it's, yes, very decisive, because there's other issues to talk about that are interrelated this besides simply talking about what is proposed here. And I don't tend to, you know, I'd rather be analytic about it and not get into, you know, people can have their interpretations of what they think is going on, but I'd like to take the ideas and put them under kind of a microscope and see what people think about it. So I don't agree with that. So anyway.
May I challenge you on your idea, please?
Pardon me?
Jim, please, I would like to challenge you on your notion.
Please, man, sure.
Okay, sure. Thank you. I appreciate you for being fair at this moment. So here's the thing. Jim, this programming committee is a subset of the Pacifico National Board. We report... Can we have the noise in the background quiet down, please?
Hi, sorry. This is Michelle from KPFK. I'll go on mute.
Thank you. Okay, so let me repeat. This committee, the programming committee, it's a subset of Pacifica National Board. Pacifica National Board has not agreed to even set a date of record. It'll be like you want to, as a district court, you want to discuss something that a local court has not discussed. Nothing has come up to you to discuss this thing. Plus, Jim, I really want you to pay attention to this. This set of new bylaws have nothing to do with programming. Programming has to do with the mission of Pacifica. You're conflating and confusing the issues. This is not the purview of this committee to discuss what's not being brought up to the PNB yet. You cannot, as a subset of PNB, to have a discussion on the things that is not even on the table yet. Thank you.
Does anybody else want to comment on that? Anybody? All right, let me disagree with you, Mansoor. First of all, I'm not taking orders from people to tell me what I can think or not think about.
I didn't say that.
Let me finish. I didn't interrupt you. I'm not taking orders from anybody about what to think about or not to think about in terms of the whole structure of the organization. And the fact that, you know, I consider us a part of the board and part of Pacifica, and that's fine. We can send things up and they can, you know, say what they think about them. But this is something that people have had to spend. We're in the middle of an election process where all of a sudden we've been confronted with this, and it's taken a lot of energy away from the election process, and it's also taken a lot of energy away from things that have to do with programming. For example, I don't particularly think the response of the network in terms of this climate change month and week has been particularly effective, because people have been had to spend a lot of time dealing with a lot of issues that are reasonable and important to deal with, but including this. So I don't agree with you that this can't be discussed. I think this foundation is founded on having a vigorous and active critical thinking about issues. And so I'd like to put this to rest. I think this should be discussed.
No.
And I'd like people to chime in.
I would like to challenge you on what you just said, please.
Mansoor, before you and I go back and forth, let me just ask if anybody else wants to jump in on this. Do you have any other responses from anybody on this, whether we should discuss this or not?
Jim, I would like to challenge you. I would like to challenge your notion.
Hold on. Does anybody else want to jump in on this before we continue?
Michael Novick to the stack.
Michael, go on, please.
Well, I think it, without getting to the merits of it, I think that it does impact programming, because the local station boards have a role to play in relation to working with the management on ensuring that the programming fulfills the mission. So if you eliminate local station boards, the question is, how do you deal with that function in a democratic way? So I think it does impact programming.
Okay. May I be on the stack now?
Go on, sir. Go on, man, sir. I was going to say.
Thank you very much. So I want to challenge you on your argument. I think, Jim, I'm being honest with you. You're confusing and you're conflating the issues to not only maybe for yourself, but for our listeners. And I want to clarify this, not to you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be having negative connotation in my vocabulary to you, but for the general audience of 10 people who are listening to us on this stream. And that is, number one, if you are really concerned about what's going on with the election of the LSB election right now, you should join the election committee, okay? That's not part of this committee. The committee that you are chairing, it's programming committee of PNB. Okay, number two, if you want to talk about climate change, I'd be happy to talk with you about programming on climate change. But what you're conflating is this, not all this proposal that is not even been recognized by PNB to be discussed at a time that you are chairing a subset of the PNB. It's out of order. If you want to talk about it, fine. I would get off the air. I would not participate in this. But this is your prerogative as a chair. You want to do whatever you want to do. I'm challenging you on your notions. And if you want to continue to talk about these things, I would get off the phone.
All right. Donald, for this day.
Who's that? Donald?
Donald? Yeah, I frankly am a little bit perturbed as well that you want to discuss something that hasn't been discussed by the board of directors. Furthermore, I thought, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that we still hadn't yet discussed the drive time programming at WBAI, which I still think is a relevant conversation. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to be on this call much longer, but I do agree with Mansoor's assessment that the programming committee is supposed to discuss programming both past, present, and future. And that's all I have to say. Thanks.
All right. Anybody else to the set? All right. Well, let me just comment on what you both said. We've been discussing WBAI's programming. In fact, I have gotten, as all the members of this committee know, extremely detailed information about the morning drive statistics and finances of the station for the past several months. The objective of that effort was to discuss morning drive in all the stations, and I haven't seen anything from any of the other stations that give me any kind of way to compare it. So that's a point to be made about that. Secondly, the plan itself that we're seeing here, and I quote it, local station boards would be eliminated, but community advisory boards at each station would be emphasized and supported to bring listener concerns and views into station programming decisions. That's a very interesting and powerful reform of how currently the structure is supposed to function, and that does indeed impact on programming. And in fact, the question of the debt and the overall collapse of the finances of the system, which, you know, let's say if we estimate it's going to get into the hundreds of thousands in the next 12 months, well, I think if one is talking about a structure or a governance structure or bringing this up in the midst of this kind of fiscal difficulty, it does indeed take attention away from trying to solve these problems. And so I agree with Donald, you know, to talk about morning drive. We've talked about it. You know, we can talk about it again. In fact, I'd like to have an open discussion about WBI morning drive at this point because we've had that quite often. But I really don't agree with you guys that this is out of order, and I think it's ridiculous to even argue this because this is Pacifica. We're dedicated to have free inquiry and thought on ideas, and these are very significant ideas that do indeed change the nature of the whole structure and being somebody who was involved in that fight from the start. And I'm talking about from 1991 on. I do see this as an important issue to talk about. And I have my own opinion about how it's affected programming, but I really disagree with you, Mansoor. And I'm being respectful about it. You know, you guys have advocated this. Fine. Let's talk about it. And I do think it has to be talked about.
I would like to be on stack, Jim.
Go on, Mansoor.
Thank you. Jim, and again, I'm sorry to be saying this word. I do apologize to you because I'm directing my comments to you. You you're confusing the issues of the committees with other committees. You're talking about finance. You should join the finance committee, at least listen to the finance committee. I don't want to discuss finance on this committee. This is a programming committee of PNB. I do not wish to talk about the governance of Pacifica and Pacifica National. Hold on a second, please. Hold on a second. I do not wish to discuss governance of Pacifica and bylaws on the programming committee that the PNB has not recognized the new set of bylaws, nor has it set up date of records to be discussed. You cannot discuss to say that anything about this thing at the committee, a programming committee. I don't know what's so difficult about you to understand this. You seem and you come across as a smart person, but when it comes to challenging you, you all of a sudden confusing yourself and everybody else. I don't want to discuss this proposal. This is not the purview of this committee. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else in the stack? All right. Let me tell you why I disagree with that completely. This committee is indeed a committee that discusses programming in general. Now, we have literally probably 15 resolutions from the previous programming committee that have yet to go to the PNB. And the last time we had proposals go to the PNB, including proposals that were coming from the then chair and also other resolutions, the comments from the National Board was micromanaging, even though I could argue very fact-based that the programming decisions by executive directors and PDs at the various stations for the 16 to 17 years we've had this new structure, we've constantly seen a downward trend in every single station. That's a fact. Plus, the money has gone downhill, in some cases far worse. So to then argue that this particular issue, which I didn't put forward, I'm not signing this, some members of the committee are, to say that it can't be discussed because it's not been approved, I have to say I find slightly out of kilter with the fact that, unfortunately, it is in our face to discuss because it's affected everything. So that's where I have to disagree.
That's right. Fine. I challenge your ideas. I would like to be on stack.
All right. I'd like to, if in this issue of the agenda, basically we've been talking about it for about 15 minutes. So I would argue that, you know, perhaps we spend about 5 minutes more, and then we take a vote whether we discuss it or not. And everybody can vote yay or nay on it. Okay, is that fair? Everybody?
I would like to challenge your ideas about what you just said.
Please do answer it.
All right, thank you. Jim, you're a smart person. I know this. You sit in front of your computer and send all sorts of emails out. Okay, you have your eyes on everything. Right now, again, and I do apologize to be saying this to you at this moment, you're confusing our listeners and you're conflating the issues. What happened 20, 30 years ago, okay, it might have some bearings right now on programming. I'll be happy to discuss programming 20, 30, 10 years ago as well. I don't mind that. But for you to come and say in advance a futuristic understanding that what if and only if and when we change the governance and bylaws of Pacifica, that it would detrimentally affect programming on any of our stations, I'll challenge you on that notion because you don't know. And here's why. You're not a program director. We have hired a professional people from the field of radio and media to be our program directors. They are tasked to do two things, increase listenership, increase financial stability of the foundation. You cannot dictate to the program directors what to do. All you can do as of this committee, all you can do is make recommendations, suggestions, based on investigative reporting that we can do on this committee. Anything outside of that you want to discuss about finance, about election, about governance, you may and you can and you, if you wish, to attend those meetings. And you can listen, and if you're allowed or to ask questions on those, that's prerogative of those committees. Right now, this committee is about programming. You cannot discuss the future 2 years or a year down the road, what's going to be. What you can discuss is what's happening now and how it might affect the future. You cannot discuss the future and how it might affect the future. This is not your prerogative over here. This is outside of the realm of this committee, Jim. Please understand this and grasp it, okay? And abide by it, because this is it. You're confused, and you're confusing and conflating the issues. Please stop doing so. Thank you.
All right. Anybody else in the stack? All right. Let me say, Mansoor, that I find your comments to be rather absurd, to be blunt, because to conflate programming, to me, the most important problem that we have is the fact that the content of the air, and I'm not talking about hairy, fairy notions of futuristic prediction, but it's an objective fact that the content of the air of the entire system has failed to attract enough listeners in every signal area for the past 15 to 20 years. That's an objective fact. And we now have the Nielsen ratings, which people can argue about their validity or not. But we also have, more importantly, the actual returns on money and the fact that in many cases, the amount of money coming into the marathons has decreased. So for you to say that one cannot, that I cannot, or anybody cannot move outside of a particular narrow path that you decide is where we can think intellectually about these problems, I think that given my experience in the system, which is about 30 years, and given the fact that I've been not only involved with governance in the old structure before the new bylaws came into effect, but I've certainly spent a lot of time trying to think critically about why we have the problems we have, you know, I just think that you're too narrow focused. I mean, I respect your point of view. You have a powerful point of view, but I have to differ from it. And I think that we cannot siloize ourselves and ignore the fact that where we get the money is from what we're attracting people on the air to. So to sort of disconnect that from the financial part of it, I think is disingenuous for not only ourselves, if I understand it, but also for the public in general, the listener members that we have. So anyway, that's my...
Sure. I would like to challenge you on your notions for the last comment that I'll make, and I'll get off this phone conversation, and I do not want to be recognized that I was participating in this. Jim, you're talking about a book. You want to discuss a book that has not been written. If we don't know how many pages are there. I'm talking about this new proposed set of bylaws that has not even been set a date of record by PNB. You trying to discuss a book that has not been written, and you want to talk about this, the plot and the antagonists and protagonists. This is not going to happen. We don't know who they are. You don't know what they are. You don't know any of these things till this book has been written. Okay? So if you want to talk about programming, I'll be happy to. I don't want to bore you with how long I've been involved with Pacifica and KPFK. If I want to do that, I'll have to write a short book that what I have done and what I've been doing and this and that. So I won't bore you with that stuff. That's nonsense. What's more important for you to grasp the reality that this committee, it's about programming and only programming, not about finance, not about election, not about governance. This is the task of this committee, Jim. Please abide by what the task of this committee is. Thank you.
All right.
Carol for the stack.
Go on, Carol.
Mansoor, are you still on? Mansoor,
yeah,
are you
still on? Yes, I am.
Okay. So What I was hearing from Mansoor is that he would be interested or at least willing to have participate in a discussion about climate change and the climate emergency programming. And I'm imagining that we're all in agreement that that might be something that is under the purview of this committee. And so I would propose that we take 10 minutes to talk about climate emergency coverage this past week, and I'd like to hear from people about what your experience of it was and how things and any proposals you have for going forward.
All right. All right, because I guess we could go back and forth on this. And since I didn't write this particular proposal, your signature's on it, so is Donald. Fine. All right.
Jim, I'm just proposing 10 minutes because I'm going to be on the call. People can have conversations after if they want, but I just thought maybe we could start with this.
All right. That's a good point because I don't think we're going to disagree about that. Mansoor, so why don't we – is that fair, Mansoor? Let's talk about how we think the network did cover the climate change thing this week. Or the past couple of weeks? Would that be a good way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much for asking me. And I will get off the phone as soon as you want to talk about the new proposed bylaws. So you can have your way on that one. Thank you.
Stay on the phone. We want to hear your comments about this. So, Carol, please lead off about the climate change coverage that you observed.
Well, I was in San Francisco today, and they shut down and blocked a number of, like, about maybe 15 different, 20 different organizations worked, a lot of them under the guidance of Extinction Rebellion, and there was like grandmothers and queer groups and different 350 and just a lot of different organizations, and then they did murals in the street, and KPFA was there and doing interviews, and they were interviewing, you know, people from the different organizations to go on the 6 o'clock news. And we got pictures that went up on Instagram, and it was exciting to be part of that and to be working with Extinction Rebellion. I've been going to their meetings for the past couple of months, and they have a media committee. So one of the things that we did was to let the news department know about the different organizations that were doing different things, and then they've been doing interviews. Sabrina interviewed someone from Extinction Rebellion for her show, and I know the news department was interviewing people, and there was a lot of different. Chris Welch was interviewing people. They had a list of all the different on the KPFA website, all the different actions going on throughout the signal range, which was really nice for people to be able to see all those different actions on the front page, you know, by clicking on the front page, and a big note on the front page of the website about climate emergency. And then Brian Edwards, Tinker from Upfront, our drive time show, was in New York, and he has been covering the summit. And today, I think Upfront played a lot of clips from the summit about different countries, you know, that are particularly vulnerable to climate that were testifying. So I'm feeling, I guess my biggest sadness is that this isn't a network-wide effort and it isn't really coordinated network-wide. And I guess I have some sadness that we do not have the money to hire a national program director for coordinating so that, you know, we could all from all the different stations be sharing our resources around this. So that's it for me, unless somebody had a question or a comment.
All right. Anybody else want to report on what happened in their signal areas, Los Angeles or elsewhere? Mansoor, Michelle, or Donald? You guys want to chime in?
Mansoor.
Go on, man.
Yeah, I'm so sorry that I haven't been participating in this. I have a lot of family issues at home, and I'm taking care of a couple of elderlies, and they right now in high demand of my time and energy and effort. So
right.
I've been taking care of a couple of elderly people. And
right.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, there's a very large, global climate strike, youth strike on Friday. Thousands of people in downtown L.A. There were other auxiliary actions, and I think there were three different ones in Santa Monica, but a bunch all around Southern California. It was not maybe as centralized as it might have been in Northern California, just because it's a very sprawling area down here. The predominant people gathered up at Pershing Square and marched to City Hall. They kind of constrained the politics of it a lot. It was, kind of permitted march. The predominant chant they were doing was, what do we want? Government action. When do we want it now? Which seems like to me a pretty limited perspective on what it's going to take to deal with climate crisis. Monday, there was a protest really directed at Trump, but it had climate stuff in it because of what's going on. And I think there was one arrest there, somebody from Refuse Fascism. And there have been a number of actions where people kind of took to the streets. I think there was a in Hollywood, there was also some people to stop traffic. But Southern California in its nature is very scattered. There's a lot of different communities and a lot of different focuses. It didn't, the number of people that came out, I think, wasn't the equivalent of like the Women's March or even the Science March here that had, tens of thousands of people in the street. It was more, smaller than that.
Right. Anybody else? What about Texas or anything else from the Bay Area or Los Angeles? Donald, are you still on the call?
Can I report from Long Beach, not Los Angeles? Oh, yeah. Thank you. So I didn't know if I could talk about that either. I thought it was a big picture. So, yeah, there was a march and rally on Friday here in Long Beach, and about 200 people showed up on the bluff, and it was really good. A lot of support, I participate on these issues on a local level to have a presence on the local level. So it was fantastic. A lot of people out there and doing the same stuff that everybody else doing on the national and international level. Thank you.
All right. Michelle, are you on the phone? Michelle, are you still on the phone, Michelle?
I'm here.
Do you have anything to add about that? Because I know you've been working with the Sanders campaign, or you have something to throw in on that one, on this climate change issue?
I have thoughts about everybody's comments, but we're taking up so much time. I'll just say that I think that finding a way to help people understand the Green New Deal would be a great way to affect the topic, in a way that is actually tangible for individuals and communities. And so, helping to find a way to get the word out about that, working with perhaps the hosts and programmers that are really working on that issue, working with Sunrise, working with Extinction Rebellion. The Extinction Rebellion movement is global. Almost every major city has a chapter now. And, to me, the way that it looks is that Sunrise is more policy-oriented and Extinction Rebellion is doing direct action. I think they're complementing each other well. And, you know, I do understand the call to ask government to do something, because it is only government that has the power to regulate, you know, the massive polluters around the world, not just the United States government, but globally, you know, the largest polluting countries are generally not countries that are polluting. It's the
right.
operations, it's the corporations inside those countries that are polluting, and they're being allowed to do so in certain countries at much larger scales than others. So, you know, finding a way to inform people about what are the actions that are being taken right now and what are the ways in which we can support as community members and as advocates and listeners of Pacifica who obviously care about these issues. So that's kind of my two cents on addressing climate change.
Anybody, Wesley? I know Houston's getting another big rainfall out there. Anything happen out there in Texas you want to share? Are you there, Wesley? Yes, Wesley's gone. All right. Donald, are you still there? All right. Let me just comment about what I've seen in New York. And I have to agree with Carol. This is an opportunity that we've blown. We should really be cooperating as a network, because it was overwhelming. It's overwhelming to see what's going on here in Manhattan and in the boroughs for the past week. The demonstrations in New York, and what really struck me was the children. It was like a child's crusade to watch this. Literally thousands and thousands of elementary school students, junior high school students, taking the lead. You know, it was quite extraordinary to watch. In terms of the quality of information and contacts, you know, I just decided to go to and listen to a lot of different events and discussions outside of the United Nations. I didn't go get a press pass to go into the UN. But I listened to people, one person I listened to talk about the effect of climate change and migration in West Africa and Senegal. It was three people talking about it over NYU. Brilliant discussion. Their argument was it was precarity more than climate change. But anyway, it was a brilliant discussion on migration and the questions of migration and climate change. There have been literally like amazing resources that I've watched come across my bow with people from all over the country, all over the world, talking about climate change this week. So this is, again, something where we need to work better as a network. I've acquainted the people down at the station about what I've seen, who I've talked to. I do think Sunrise and Extinction Rebellion, the kind of things that you all, that Michelle's talking about, and Carol are talking about, these are really interesting grassroots movements that are going on. Today, I just went to listen to a whole bunch of corporate people talk about how they want to make money on it. So that was a different kind of take. But it's quite extraordinary, the breadth and depth of it. And the person who I discovered was most interesting, she's from UC Santa Barbara, was a woman talking about, who's doing in-depth research about public opinion in America and climate change, and in particular how it's affecting the election process. And I'll get her name and send it to you guys, but it was really interesting, very smart lady, and quite illuminating. And it gave me all sorts of ideas for content to be proposed. One idea that I saw from what we were doing is, I think that at least in New York, I'm arguing that every month we have to think of some massive populist-oriented publicity stunt mission incongruence kind of event. And what I was thinking of is, since we finished with the Mueller report reading, I said, look, let's take one of these reports that have been banned on climate change and bring in a bunch of kids and have them read it on the air. Just do a whole day of children, mainly kids, coming in and talking about how they feel about this issue, and make it a diverse group of kids, because I also saw great diversity in the demonstrations I saw in Lower Manhattan. So I must admit, it's been quite overwhelming to watch this, and I think it's an interesting moment we're in you know, and we haven't even talked about impeachment yet. I mean, that's a whole other issue to talk about. But anyway, there, I think, is something we all can collaborate with each other nationally on, the impeachment issue. But I just wanted to share that about the what I've seen so far in the week here in New York. It's quite extraordinary. All right. Anybody else to the stack on this? All right. Carol, are you still on the stack?
I'm still here.
Okay.
I'm going to get off pretty soon.
All right. Well, I have to say that your ideas about this climate change thing turned out to be pretty accurate. I mean, again, I think we're seeing an amazing mass mobilization on this issue around the country and around the world. And I think it's something that the network has to really be thinking strategically about how to further integrate in. Now, for example, let's say I know Michelle was in Mozambique. I listened to somebody talk about what happened in Beira. Beira is the port down there. Michelle, is that the capital of Mozambique, Beira?
Maputo is the capital of Mozambique.
Maputo. But anyway, the person was talking to me about how they got hit with one of the largest recorded typhoons in African history. And they basically got smashed. And this person was down there investigating what happened in Beira. It raises the question of how we're perceiving the third world, how the third world is being covered in depth in our stations, which I always have a problem with. But the person was talking about how the entire warning system in Beira collapsed. The people knew 4 to 5 hours before the typhoon hit, but they didn't warn the public. And so this particular journalist was actually threatened, his life was threatened if he reported what he was discovering when he was in Mozambique. But the only reason I bring that up is it raises the question of, you know, climate change is hitting, just like the Mississippi flood of 1927, it's hitting the poor third world areas of the world, and et cetera, and hitting the weak and those that are most affected by global inequality. And that, to me, is a glaring weakness of a lot of what I heard in the universities this week. Everybody was talking about it, but they weren't really thinking it through. I don't want to sort of overly use Kimberly Crenshaw's term intersectionality, but the impact, the intersection of race, class, gender, et cetera, was obvious in all the different prescriptions they were talking about. And I was listening to people talk from the state of Louisiana, guys who were paid. There was a guy I heard who had been in Fukushima, but the people down in Louisiana were talking about how they were using all the money, and they were talking in particular about having to evacuate areas, and then they had the people who could leave were the people who had the resources. But the people who stayed were the people who just couldn't afford to leave, and they're the poorest and generally non-white folks. So there's all sorts of interesting questions that are coming out of this that have to do with the very nature of our society, and it just was really striking to watch all these different people talk about this week.
Michelle, for the stack.
Go on, Michelle.
Mansoor for stack as well, please.
Go on, Michelle.
I don't want to interrupt. Were you finished?
I'm finished, yeah.
I agree with the point that you're making. I'd like to make a suggestion that we adjust our language. The term third world is now sort of two generations old. What was being used after third world, it was developing versus developed countries. That's more commonly still accepted now. However, it's still a bit of a misnomer. In the circles that I operate in, we've started using the term formerly colonized countries. I don't know if that's something that we can – I don't want to sit on it for too long. I don't think we should be using the term third world. It's a bit dated. Developing countries is more accepted, but it's still a little bit in the past, because what coming to the forefront of recognition is that these are the countries that suffered under the era of colonization and that continue to suffer under neoliberal colonization. And so talking about Mozambique, when I was there in 2015, they were celebrating just 40 years of independence from Portugal. And so 40 years is the blink of an eye. Many people on this call were alive at a time when, you know, Mozambique was still a colony of Portugal. So when we talk about whether or not, you know, the poorest of the poor around the world are able to escape the effects of climate change, what we're really talking about is the resources that have been taken from those countries so that the people who belong there and live there and the native people who exist there don't have access to their own resources in order to be able to, you know, build a life that will enable them to escape from climate change. So climate refugees around the world coming from, you know, these nations that have been raped and pillaged, it's not, you know, putting the moniker of third world or developing countries on them, it sort of puts the onus back on them. And I think that, you know, talking about these countries as colonized or formerly colonized countries really puts the onus on the world to start to make this right. So I just wanted to do a little check in language on that, but I do agree with the premise of what you were saying. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. Mansoor. Mansoor?
Yes, thank you, Jim. Let me commend you, Jim, that you're a smart person, okay? And I mean it sincerely, all right? And you understand issues really well, but I want you to put some beef into what we do. And Carol brought a very good point about national programming and that we considering the idea of having a national programming director. May I impose on you to let's focus on this because the climate emergencies that we have because of the 2020 election that we would have because of all the stuff that's happening and because to and for the sake of boosting up Pacifica's national recognition and reputation, may we start focusing on this very particular issue? And again, you know, this...
The 2020 elections?
No. Carol brought up an issue. Okay, I'll wait till everybody is done talking.
Go on, man.
Okay. What I was saying, Carol brought up a very good issue about national programming and a national program director. And I was commending you for... And I want to plead with you, can we focus on this one? No more distraction, no more, you know, at large anything, but let's focus on this one. So maybe we can help the foundation to have better reputation nationwide. That's my thing. And I would like to hear what Carol is talking about in detail. Thank you.
Michael to the stack.
Hold on, Michael.
I really think that's the wrong direction to go. KPFK right now in the morning has nothing but national programs. Almost every show we're running is a nationally syndicated or internet program or something, with the exception of Margaret Prescott, is produced locally, but it's also syndicated nationally. It's less of its local focus. I think that the survival of Pacifica depends on actually having effective local programming that responds to and engages the local communities. So a national program director and pouring resources into a national Pacifica program, I think, is the least effective way we can deal with the problems we're having. We've lost our local audiences. We have to access the capacities, the creative energies that are going on out there. There's tremendous organizing in every one of our signal areas. There are young people dealing with the world, at all levels. Dealing with gentrification struggles, dealing with police struggles, dealing with climate issues, dealing with decarceration and ending prisons and jails. And we have to tap into those energies because that's what's shaping the future in the areas that we have stations.
Right.
The idea that we're going to solve the problem with a national program director, I think, is exactly the wrong direction to go. We need to have local programming. Let me finish my thought, please. You didn't cut anybody else off. You're not going to cut me off.
No, of course not. Go on.
We need to have local programming, locally produced programming. We need to have a morning drive time program in particular that engages with the community and that has, first of all, co-hosts, that has opportunities to deal with pressing issues that people are dealing with cultural creative expressions that people are making to deal with it, and with solutions, because the solutions are out there. The problem with KPFK and the other Pacifica stations, I listened to BAI, for example, for a period of time. I'm from New York originally, but I applied at one point for they apparently had a idea a year or so ago they were going to hire an interim program director. I don't know why they said interim. But I applied for that position. I listened to the program in BAI. Many of the people on WBAI sound like they're talking to themselves. And I think this is the problem with a lot of the programming on Pacifica. It's cookie cutter. Almost every public affairs program has the same model. It's like three or four interviews in an hour with a talking head. That can't be the direction. What you said at the beginning, I think is right. We've lost our audience because we're not engaged with them. We're not broadcasting. We're not doing remote broadcasting from the place that people are in struggle. We're not covering the issues that people are actually dealing with and letting them speak for themselves. We have a bunch of gatekeepers. So I'm completely opposed to the idea that hiring a national program director will be the solution for Pacifica. Pacifica's national coverage should come out of combining the efforts that the stations are making. And then if the stations are making those efforts, you can synthesize them. You can cover things that each individual station doesn't have the capacity to do by combining your resources at the local level with investigative journalism. But if people think that a national program director is going to solve Pacifica's problems with a national show, they're sorely mistaken. We're not NPR. And the strategy we have to take to rebuild our stations is going to be based on what I said, finding hosts and finding shows bringing more of the many-to-many ethos of social media, which people are constantly producing stuff themselves and sharing it and interacting with each other. We have to get that into our broadcast operations, and you can't do that on a national basis.
Carol, for the stack.
All right, go on, Carol.
Jim, may I request 30 seconds to clarify what I said?
Go ahead, Nansar.
Okay. All right, thank you. Michael, I didn't really mean to share one program from one station to next station. I meant something totally different, that a national programming that would reach out to each station to produce some local analysis of what's going on the issues. I didn't mean sharing one show from KPFK at WBAI. That's not a national programming. Thank you. And I'm going to get off the call in about 5 minutes. Thank you.
Carol, go on, Carol.
I believe that we just recently passed a voter empowerment proposal from this committee, and we also been talking about climate emergency. Now, if we're going to actually implement a voter empowerment campaign, I don't know if all of you are all working on that and it's all happening, but what I'm imagining is that it would be helpful to have a point person who is saying, okay, they just did the Black Census analysis, and there are other things that other people are doing that could be shared, may not be shared, but that there is even a part-time person to help coordinate and do planning, because what are we here for otherwise? I mean, why don't we all just hang up and go back to our stations and talk about programming there? You know, what are we doing here if we're not talking about, you know, sharing our resources nationally. So to me, it's important not only to talk about our programming, and I want to say one other thing before I get off, is that I think we need enough community engagement with the organizations, like what Michelle is talking about, you know, knowing the organizations in her area, knowing what's happening there, so that we can support programming. So we need, you know, community engagement, we need outreach, we need fundraising from people on the ground who are help, who can help to do these kinds of things. And to support our programming and build relationships so that our programming is relevant. So I don't think it's like either, oh, we're going to go local or go national. No. I mean, we need both.
All right. Let me chime in on this. First of all, thank you so much for your comments. I guess my first thing is to Michelle. I traveled through Africa in the 1970s, so I guess I'm a little old-fashioned using the term third world. Back then, people did not like to refer themselves as formally colonized. They wanted to refer themselves as a new nation. But I hear what you're saying, I'm glad to have my nomenclature checked as perhaps being a little too obsolete. So thank you for those comments. Michael, I totally agree with you. I do think that we have to have that kind of local affairs programming. And that sort of sounds like what Carol said. I'm sort of restricted by that because I can't really engage any kind of things with the programming because of the election. Hopefully that'll be over soon. Now, in terms of the national programming, I also agree with Mansoor. To me, they're not mutually exclusive. In fact, if people will remember, Carol might, I don't think Mansoor was on the committee at that time. One of the things we talked about with Maxi was indeed figuring out a way to set up a program that would be a collaborative program with all the stations contributing. Each station would have, like, you know, 10 minutes apiece to sort of play with or something like that, and they would do it at the national level. Now, I do think we have an opportunity right now with this impeachment situation to really do a bang-up job because it's, as we know, we don't know how this is going to go, but it certainly is, it looks like we're heading in a different kind of situation here. And Pacifica in each station and collaborating with each other throughout the country, I think we can do some interesting stuff. And we certainly know in the past, Pacifica, again, a different context. We didn't have all the digital different media platforms to compete with us. I'm talking about when Larry Bensky went and did his Watergate coverage, which I thought was excellent. It is, we're not in the same situation in terms of there's all these media choices that exist now that didn't exist back then. But the impeachment situation allows us to do interesting, unique kinds of programming that is, and I usually hear people say, yeah, why bother doing it because the mainstream is doing it? Who cares? The hell with that. We can do interesting, creative stuff that can not only tap on people locally in our signal areas, but we can go further and make it more creative. So I'm certainly see the impeachment issue as a way we can explore and collaborate. And also, I look at the climate change issue. It's not going away. So what? This weekend, so we still have the opportunity to do things nationally on this issue, as we do with any issue. So I completely ignore. Michael had a long riff about this. I'm totally on board with that, Michael, because, you know, local and the siloing kind of the problem. Here's where I get, you know, like I sort of was annoyed. I'll say this with the national committee. You know, like I may have disagreed with you about Michael managing all that stuff. You know, I myself have been a producer at BAI, but also I went into mainstream and alternative TV. I did that for a long time. I was in charge of 10 to 15 minutes of a national TV show. So, you know, I sort of learned pretty hard about, you know, how to do things on a daily basis. TV is even more demanding. And we don't have any stations, and that's why I've learned a lot from listening to KPFA talk. We have to really, you know, the whole culture of learning, a culture of nurturing, of teaching people skills. That's so important because that is Michael's point about the way the BAI shows are set up is a very good point, and I agree with that 100%. there is a falling off of different skills of production in all the stations. And it just isn't simply getting behind the mic and blathering away. It has to, you know, there's an art form to doing good sound art. And certainly the podcasting revolution is just completely all about that. So I sort of see a lot of what I've heard so far is like, you know, I agree with everything, you know, even though I didn't agree with everything the first half hour of this meeting, but I certainly agree with these ideas about programming, and I think we should be thinking about things coming out of this committee. I don't, you know, we're sort of, I guess, a community advisory board for the PNB, and, you know, people have thought clearly about a lot of these kind of issues. We debated all these things with Maxie in great depth, and so I'll send them up to the PNB. They can send it back down. But I want to have it on record that we talked about these kind of questions, including the issue of integrating social media into the radio shows as a policy. And we can recommend anything we want. They can reject whatever we recommend. But, you know, I don't necessarily, having dealt with program directors now for 25 to 30 years, I don't necessarily agree with everything they argue about. I don't necessarily defer to their judgment about stuff because they've been wrong. They've been right and they've been wrong. So anyway. All right. So where do we want to go here with the rest of this meeting tonight? Have we more or less exhausted ourselves, or what else do you guys want to talk about?
Carol for the STEC, I'm going to get off now, but thanks everybody. And thanks for talking about those things that we just covered.
Okay, Carol. Thank you. And I guess to put a point person on, you know, by the way, I did ask Michael Keith. Michael Keith was the person who did that radio station textbook. He taught radio station operations and programming for 25 years. He's volunteered to come on and have a discussion with us on the phone call in the next week or so, next couple of weeks. So if you all are down for that, I'll bring him on to talk about that.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, Carol. And Sir, do you have anything else you want to add before you go? Are you there, Mansoor? Okay. Michelle and Michael, are you there?
Yeah. I wanted to say, I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm interested in national programming. I think we do have to find some ways to parlay the resources that we do have in local areas into doing national programming that's different from syndicating shows from one station to another, but is about trying to create a national buzz around issues that we can investigate and uncover at Pacifica. I think to do that, we have to have local news departments. I don't know what the story is at WBAI. I know they fired most of the news people in L.A., we get a feed from Berkeley, and then we have a 15-minute segment of locally produced news. So I think that rebuilding our news departments will take tapping into the resources of people who are involved with other forms of media and using Pacific as a radio platform to enhance their efforts and combine their efforts with ours. To do, you know, radio journalism that digs very deep into issues. And as I say, particularly with the solutions that are coming forward from the grassroots.
I agree. I discovered at New York University, they have a daily news show. It's being done as a podcast on Latin American news. All news from Latin America, and I brought that to the attention of the program director, and I'm going to go make an effort to go talk to these guys, because if there are efforts to set up similar kind of news operations that have to do with Africa, with the Middle East, with Asia, that'd be, to me, a really useful thing for us to be working with. But yes, I agree 100%, man. I mean, we got to, and not having local news departments in each of the stations working robustly and well is a serious weakness. I don't know what the situation is at KPFK in New York. It's much, much different than it was 25 to 30 years ago. It has to be basically a voluntary staff. The program director right now is somebody who worked for the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for 20 years or more. She's a news person. So there is a news department, but it's not the kind of news department I saw in the past. And again, it's the lack of resources and the fact that the resources in all the stations are at a very dangerous point. And that's why, you know, to not talk about the issues we were talking about earlier, I totally disagree with. But anyway, we have a situation where each station, we could be facing a system-wide implosion in a year, which, you know, on top of the debt with the loan, we're talking, we could be easily facing a deficit of well over $1 million, and that could be quite difficult for each station. I think every station, it could be an actual net drop of income. And so that's, to me, why it's so important for us to come up and actually argue with these guys about, let's have some, we have to have change in the programming, content-wise, absolutely, in order to make, to survive. Anyway, does anybody else want to have anything to say tonight, or Michael or Michelle, are you still there?
I'm here. I just have a quick question. What can we say that we accomplished on this phone call? Does anybody have any ideas?
I guess we didn't. What did we accomplish? I guess we agreed to disagree about the talking about the bylaws, which I consider very important to discuss, and I certainly didn't. I wasn't one of the people who signed that document, but anyway. And then I think the most important thing to take from this is that, you know, we have to come together as a network and figure out how to work together. And, you know, I think that the climate change issue is something that, you know, it hasn't gone away. I think that, you know, coming out of this phone call, I sort of get the idea from everybody sort of on the same page that we have to sit there and figure out ways to reinforce the local programming and at the same time coordinate and maybe work in a collaborative way on issues that impact everybody, that can have a mass effect. At least that's something I get. I mean, you know, maybe other people can say what they feel we accomplished. We didn't kill each other. Let's put it that way. We're more. That's one good thing. I mean, yeah, because if you look at the emails, anyway, I'd say that's one accomplishment. but what do you feel we accomplished tonight?
Well, you know, I'm an organizer, and, you know, it's one of my basic rules is, you know, you don't enter a meeting, or you don't call a meeting without having an agenda, and you don't complete a meeting without identifying the action items. And so, you know, it's easy, as we all know, to get into a cycle of coming on the phone or coming to a meeting and talking to each other and kind of then breaking and coming back next month. And it's my opinion that in order to move processes and ideas and things forward, that, you know, if at the end we can recap what we've accomplished and what we intend to accomplish next time, then we've done something. But if we ask each other what we've accomplished and we're not quite sure, you know, what we've done that will require next steps next time and the ways in which we can update each other on what we accomplished in the interim, you know, I'd like to see this committee take a little more responsibility for actually developing some action items out of these phone calls. What are our goals as a committee in the next 6 months, say? What are our goals as a committee? I would love to put that on the agenda for next time.
All right. Michael, what did you say?
I just want to get back in a second. I agree with that. I think it would be very helpful. I was the chair of this committee a couple of years ago, the last time I was on the local fish board and also the Pacific National Board. And we did have a series of proposals that we could not get traction for. Lines that we were kind of hinting at in this point, was find ways to sort of marshal the resources of the various states. And
I can't hear you, Michael.
Michael, we're losing you.
I have you on speaker. I was on this committee a couple of years ago. I was actually the chair when I was on the PNB. And we have a series of motions that we actually adopted in the committee that we could not get traction for. But they were all oriented towards the general direction that we were talking about earlier of how to marshal the existing resources of the stations into some kind of coordinated national effort. At that time, it was dealing with the prospect of the 2016 election process and trying to put together a program that looked at the issues that were not being dealt with in the election campaign or by the corporate media. So I think that something like that, similar to that, could be a goal for the next meeting along the lines of what Michelle was talking about. Can we figure out a concrete way that the existing stations and the affiliates, if possible, could coordinate some efforts in around the question of impeachment? Is the only basis for impeachment this one conversation that Trump had with Ukraine? Or what about, crimes against humanity, acts of war, naked racism, you know what I mean? Putting a Pacifica perspective and using the various resources that the stations have, or the same thing around the whole question of the climate. What are solutions that are being put forward at the grassroots level that need to be magnified and, amplified on a national level for directions for that movement to grapple with? So I think if we could do something along those lines and figure out how to get buy-in from the station management and staff, which is where it has to happen, then that would be a productive meeting.
Well, that's a good idea, and I will send you the motions that we have, because my impression of, I will be blunt, I consider that the PNB in general, in terms of the representatives from the different stations, most of them have little to no knowledge about the intricacies of broadcasting. And that has been reflected in the kind of energy that's been expended in a lot of, vitriolic and internecine warfare for the past 20 years. When we've sent them motions that have to do with specific recommendations after having debates in this committee about having policy that would be applied to the whole network, they get sent back as micromanagement, which I consider to be a reflection of the general tone of some on the board that have other objectives, and this is why I wanted to discuss this contentious proposal that has been inserted into the election process by not me, not you, not Michelle, or not other people, but some of the people on this committee. And one's had to waste a lot of time in New York about that and other issues for the past month. Concrete proposals, Michelle, yes, they've been sent up there, and they, I'll send them around to you guys. You see, we have at least 15 to 16 motions that were passed by this committee that are unable to get up to the national board because they've been too involved in bickering with one another over who controls the board. So, and again, my opinion is that they do not focus in on what is the quality of the air and does the air attract people. To me, that's the most basic problem that they all should think about, because otherwise, what are we here for? You know, I'm not here to engage in replication of my youth in the 60s or 70s in some new forum on broadcasting. So, yes, that's my opinion about it pretty bluntly. And I agree with you, Nicole and Michelle. Those are the kind of things that, yes, we want to get things done. But, we have to get buy-in, and they have their own opinions about things.
Yeah, to respond briefly, and then I'll you know, let us get off the phone here. I understand that as an advisory committee, we are extraordinarily limited, but, you know, sending proposals up the chain, up the ladder is one thing, but if we have some sort of clear direction, you know, again, if we set our own goals for what we'd like to achieve as the programming committee that is within our purview, I think it would help us structure each conversation in a way that leads us to the next conversation in a way that builds on, you know, what we did the last time. So I found it really effective to create agendas, especially for groups that meet weekly or monthly or whatever, creating agendas that build on the previous agenda and that highlight action items, that highlight, you know, things that haven't been accomplished, that sort of thing. And I know this is like rudimentary. It's not new information for anyone, but sometimes it's easy to lose that focus. And I'd really like to see this committee be really effective in helping to bring the Pacifica stations onto the same page together. So.
Okay, well, that's a great – well, please share your ideas, Michelle. And Michael, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, I have to get off because I have another call in about 5 minutes. So, I agree with what Michelle said. And, you know, we should think about what role the committee can play itself. I think maybe, you know, sharing some successes that some states have, if any, would be the one. But I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, then we can, you know, perhaps work together to make a meeting next time, which sort of embodies some of the things Michelle's arguing. And I will send off to the vice chair the various resolutions that we've passed, and I'll send them to you guys, and we can talk about them. All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot for your participation tonight, and it's great talking to you and hearing your points. And I'll start to use formerly colonized countries, Michelle.
You know, it's funny how sometimes it's interesting what you said, because it's funny how sometimes we circle back to, you know, countries that wanted to shed that. And now it's like, well, stop blaming us and recognize our history, you know? So I wonder where that leads us next. Very interesting conversation for social politics.
There's also some currently colonized countries like Puerto Rico.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. 100%.
That's the whole thing. I went to hear an entire discussion about the effect of Hurricane Maria last week. That was a mind blow. But yes, back in the day, I remember listening and talking to members of ZANU and ZAPU going way back, and then, you know, listening to people in Florida. Nobody would talk about. They're talking about their nation, Mozambique. So anyway,
okay. I do have to go, but thanks and good night.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.